Well, good morning. Welcome to Faith Point Church. We're glad that you are here on this Sunday after Easter. We had a great Holy Week last week, a great celebration of Easter. And so we're ready to kick back into the message series that we started several weeks before that on the Gospel of John. We have been working our way through John's Gospel. It's also been referred to as the Beloved Gospel. It's the Gospel that many, many people would say was kind of the most instrumental Gospel for them to come to faith in Jesus Christ, because the way John writes is he uses a lot of metaphors, he uses a lot of word pictures, he's very poetic in his writing. But John's purpose is very singular, and he tells us exactly why he has written his gospel for us, why God has inspired him to write this message for us. He tells us in John 20, verse 31, that these are written so that you may continue, or that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. So in other words, this gospel is written for one really main purpose that can be divided up into two points. Number one, for people to come to faith in Christ, and number two, for people to grow in that relationship with Christ. And so we have been working our way through this gospel chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and this morning we're going to pick up where we left off in chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. But let me kind of bring you up to speed a little bit. Jesus has just performed one of his most spectacular miracles, where he fed a huge crowd of people. The biblical writers tell us there were 5,000 men there. So the best scholars have been able to tell us, when you add the women and the children into that, that somewhere between 20 and 25,000 people were fed with five loaves of barley bread, which was the kind of the bread of the paupers. It was an inexpensive bread, and two fish. And these fish were about the size of sardines. And Jesus does this amazing miracle with this little boy, presents these fish and these loaves of bread. Jesus blesses them, and then he has his disciples begin handing out this bread. And it's a spectacular miracle, because by the end of this time, we're told that everyone was fed and they were all full. It wasn't just, I had a little appetizer and now it was okay. But the text tells us that they were absolutely, completely full, that it fed them as much as they needed. And then Jesus tells his disciples to now go and pick up all the leftovers. We're like going, really, leftovers from five loaves of bread and two fish? There were 12 baskets of leftovers. No doubt, absolutely, this is one of the most spectacular miracles that Jesus performs. And it's one of the earliest miracles that John records of Jesus. Again, why? Why does he record these miraculous signs? Why does he record these things with that singular purpose, that people might come to faith in Christ and that they might grow in that relationship with Christ? And so we're going to pick up today with the next few verses. And I've named the message today the storms of life, the storms of life, because we're going to read about a storm that happened on the Sea of Galilee. You might actually refer to it more as kind of the Lake of Galilee, because it really wasn't that big. But there's a storm that happens on the Sea of Galilee. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the fact that John, in his writing, has a kind of at the surface level understanding, or a story that he's presenting. But he also writes in such a way that there's a below the surface, a deeper meaning with the text. And we're really going to see that this morning, that on the surface, it's an amazing story about Jesus walking on water. But below the surface, it's really a metaphor for us that we're going to talk a little bit more about what happens when the storms of life come in. We know about storms, don't we? Last couple weeks, we've had some pretty significant storms, haven't we? Anybody have to drive through the flooding? Anybody get stuck and couldn't go to certain places? You know, I remember many, many years ago in my retail career, I was working in Houston, Texas, and we were in the downtown Foley's store. That's where our offices were. And this storm had blown in. I mean, they had predicted that it was going to be a big storm that produces a lot of rain, but they, like, so far missed the mark of what was really going to come in. It was this torrential downpour that just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And in Houston, in that area, they have this whole system of aqueducts, because the rain comes so hard, so fast, that it doesn't have time to soak in. And so they have all these aqueducts to kind of get the water moving and kind of get it out of the main place. places, it hit so hard that it overflooded all of those aqueducts, and it actually made I-10, which is the major east-west route, into this raging rapids. And so it was really wild that we went to the TV department in the store there, and all the news places had their helicopters flying around looking that the major highways, I-45, I-10, had turned into this major raging rapids, and people were caught in this. Cars were just like flowing all over the place. And so many people got stuck in this storm, this expected but unexpected in its severity of storm. I remember thinking when I was watching that, thinking, how am I going to get home? Because I lived on the far north side of Houston. It was actually in another town. And normally it took me between 30 and 45 minutes to get home on a good day. On a bad day, it could take an hour, hour and 15 minutes. You know, one of those places that you swore that, like, I will never drive that far to go to work. I did. But I remember looking at it thinking, how am I going to get home? Because every route, according to the news, that I take was blocked. So when it was time to go, I got in my car, I started venturing. I knew that I needed to go north, so I just got on any road that I could find that would get me north. 3 hours later, I pulled into my house. Storms. We face them all the time. We have real-life physical storms, right? Snowstorms, rainstorms. We have these things. But we also have other storms in our lives, storms that blow in and storms that can just mess things up. And so this morning I want to talk about those storms, and I really want to kind of move us to this place of looking at what can storms of life actually do that are beneficial? Because I believe that when the storms of life come in, we have a choice to make. Are we going to let ourselves be overwhelmed by the storm? Or are we going to seek to overwhelm the storm? Are we going to try to ride the storm out? Are we going to anticipate the storm and make some better decisions? Or are we going to let the storms of life overwhelm us? So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So we're going to pick up John chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, I think it is. And let's look and see these next few stories. It's just a few verses. And we're just going to see what we can learn from this text that John presents to us. Again, remember, Jesus has just performed this amazing miracle. And these are the next words that John records of Jesus. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as the darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. They invited him into the boat, and immediately they arrived to their destination. It was like they were transported. It was a miraculous event. We cannot really explain it in any other way except it was just a pure miracle. They let Jesus in, and they have arrived at their destination. Now, the Sea of Galilee is one of those places that, based on the topography of the land, it's really easy for storms, unexpected storms, to blow in and create these amazing waves, these torrential downpours, and it was a really tough sea or lake to navigate. And many, many times, the storms that would blow in, because they'd come over the mountains and into the valley, very often these were unexpected. And so, if you were a fisherman or somebody used to doing trafficking on the sea, you always had to be prepared. You always had to be ready for the storm that might blow in. And I think that's an important lesson for us. We're not going to dig that into too much detail for us today. But to think about the idea that when storms come up, are we in fact ready for them? Are we positioning ourselves ready for the storms of life? I think it's one of the most amazing reasons why we should be students of God's word. that I believe that everything that we have in the Bible has been divinely inspired by God and is useful for us to teach us, to guide us, to correct us, to do all these things, to know how we can live in this world and how we can have this great, eternal, amazing, life-altering relationship with Christ. It's one of the reasons why I just felt God was kind of leading us to work through the Gospel of John. I've actually never preached through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter. I've done many other books, but I've never preached through John. And so this has been an amazing journey for me, and I hope it's a great journey for you too, as we're just digging into seeing what John has to tell us, how God has inspired John to write these amazing words for us. But the storms of life, you know, one of the stark realities about the storms of life are, number one, if you have your bulletin notes, you might want to pull those out, follow along, fill in some blanks there, have something to interact with. But the first thing I want us to notice is that storms are a given. Storms are a given. Real life, physical storms are a given, right? I mean, we have the rainstorms, we have the snowstorms, we have all those things. They're just a given. John actually tells us in 16:33, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. In other words, you're going to have storms. There's no escaping them. No one is exempt from them. We are all going to have storms. Again, at a surface level, we got regular physical storms. But at a deeper spiritual level, we have storms that come crashing into the other areas of our lives. And John tells us there's no escaping them, that in this life, no matter who you are, you're going to face storms. They are a given. And what are we going to do about that? Number two, what we can understand about the storms of life are that they can be unexpected or they can be foreseeable. We know what that is, right? Those unexpected, life-altering, life-shattering moments that they just come, that we don't see coming. An illness, a job loss. I remember being called into my boss's office one time, and she just looked right at me and she said, I don't think your time with our company is going to be very long. Really? What am I supposed to do with that? I'm a single guy who moved 1,000 miles away from anybody that I knew, and I had a boss tell me, I don't think your time with our company is going to be very long. And it was also a season in my life where I wasn't exactly saving a lot of money. I spent everything I got. And so I had to face that. The unexpected storms of life. I remember when I started seminary, and I remember when I got a call from my mom and my dad, and they said, you probably need to come home. And I'm like, why, what's going on? And my mom said, well, I've been diagnosed with, I need to have some surgery. And so you just might want to come home if you want to, you know, if you can do that. And so I wasn't able to get home for the surgery because I was living in Texas, but I remember the phone call that I got from my dad saying, the surgery didn't go so well. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you know, they went in because she had these fibroid cyst things. Women, you probably know what that is. Don't know much, a whole lot about that. But she had these fibroid cysts, and they had said, you know, well, if we can, we're just going to extricate them. If not, then we're probably going to have to do a hysterectomy, but with your mom's age, you know, with your age, not a really big deal, but, you know, just going to be prepared for that. And my dad said, well, it came back that they found ovarian cancer. And so your mom is, it's pretty serious. And she was, I don't remember if it was stage 3 or stage 4. I think it was stage 4 because they found it in a couple places. Totally, utterly unexpected. Because they thought all she had was these fibroid cyst tumors things. She actually coded on the table with the second surgery. But the amazing thing is this last year, her insurance company called and said, that test that you get every year to see if you have any cancer, we're not paying for that anymore because we figure that you're totally cured. So how amazing was that? Doesn't end that way for everybody. Unexpected storms, man, they just happen, right? Can't tell you how many times I work with folks, couples, individuals who come into my office and say, my spouse, my wife, my husband, just they said they want a divorce, and I didn't see it coming. There are just unexpected things that happen in our life. And we have to ask the question, how are we going to respond to that? Are we going to let the storm overwhelm us, or are we going to seek to overwhelm and conquer the storm that comes before our way with the help of our God who is ever present, always with us, because he has risen from the grave and he is alive and his spirit is with us. Some storms are unexpected, but some storms are foreseeable, right? We see it, they're on the horizon. We see them coming. Sometimes those storms are based on the choices we make, right? We're like, oh, that wasn't a good choice. That storm is coming. Sometimes they're foreseeable just because we see the circumstances of, you know, like maybe what's going on in our company. You know, I talk to a lot of folks who say, yeah, well, you know, we think our company's going to be sold, because you kind of get those little hints and you see those conversations that begin happening, and you know, meetings are going on and such. And so that causes some angst in your life, right? Like, what if my company gets sold? What if they move offices from here to there? What am I going to do? Because I don't want to go from here to there. I want to stay where I am right now. Some of those things were foreseeable, but we have to decide what we're going to do about it. We might hear that our company is downsizing. We might see an illness beginning to creep up in our family or in our children or in our parents, and we kind of see them coming, don't we? And we got to figure out, how are we going to respond to that? When the storm comes blowing in, how are we going to respond to that? What are we going to do with that? Because storms are a given, and they're unexpected, but sometimes they're foreseeable. Sometimes they're small storms, and sometimes they're like those tsunamis. Sometimes they're like those huge things that they just come, and they just wreak devastation wherever they go. Storms can be really harmful, or storms can actually be very helpful. A couple things I want to point out here, because so you got to kind of go below the surface here, not just the surfacey level of the physical storms, but the below the surface about what can sometimes storms do in our life. Not that we want storms, not that we like storms, not that we're going, oh, I got another one, yay, you know. But sometimes the storms of life can have some real positive, beneficial things. I thought about your testimony, about you sharing, Diana, about your illness and some of the things, and you're like, wow, that got God's attention in my life and totally refocused me. And not that you would have ever asked for that kind of an illness, but wow, look what God did in spite of that. And so I just want to point out that I think there are some powerful, beneficial things that storms can do our life. I think one of the things that storms can do is they can actually protect us. And what I mean by that is they can protect us from further destruction. Sometimes we need the little storm to knock us over to prevent us to make better decisions, so that we won't get like really knocked over when the bigger storm of life comes, right? So sometimes storms can protect us. They can get us ready. They can get us, the second one, they can strengthen us, right? You know, it's that perseverance. It's that working through the storm. It's that I'm putting my head to the plow and I'm just going to go and go and go, and I'm not going to let it take me under. It's that we become powerful. We become stronger when we face the storms of life. We can be like, oh, I got through that one. And you know, it's experience and it's perseverance and it's recognizing many times in hindsight, where was God in the midst of that? And he's been right there with you. There's a great poem that called Footprints in the Sand, and it talks about how sometimes God is behind us, sometimes God is ahead of us, sometimes there's only one set of footprints in the sand because God is carrying us. But storms can strengthen us. Storms can actually correct us. They can get our attention, right? Man, I remember when that whole thing with my career happened, and that was a huge attention-getting thing. Did God cause that? I don't think so. Did God work through that? Oh my goodness, did he work through that? Because it got my attention to see, wow, how am I living my life, and what am I doing, and how do I make some corrections that need to be made in my life? Am I doing destructive behaviors? Am I starting down a little path? I'm like, oh, it doesn't look too bad. Do I begin buying into some kind of a theological model of, well, I like sinning, God likes forgiving, we got a great relationship here, so we can just kind of dab a little there? We need storms of life to correct us sometimes when we're doing stuff that we shouldn't be doing, or going down paths that we shouldn't be going down, or dabbling in stuff, or allowing temptation to get us a little bit more of our attention. So storms of life can help correct us. I think also the storms of life can redirect us. they can redirect us. I am out of the retail business, and I thank God for that every single day. You know, and I tell people, I'm like, it's pretty cool because I have a marketing degree. And I said, it's really pretty cool because now I get to use my degree in a whole different way. I was marketing like stuff that you don't really need. And now I get to market stuff that you really need, which is a relationship with God. So it's like, it's all worked out to the good for me. Money's a little bit different, but hey, we don't go just for money, right? Right? Because money, one of the things I discovered about me, huge tempter. Oh, dang. Dang. We understand why the Bible talks about money more than 2,000 times. Because what gets our attention gets us. So we got to figure out, sometimes the storms of life are just going to redirect us and we're going down a path and it's like, man, that storm happens. And just like when I was living in Houston, I had to find a different way home 3 hours later. But I got home, but it redirected me, got me back to where I needed to go. And sometimes we got to do that. We have to have those little course corrections. And then I also think, and you might have more on your list, but one more that I think is just absolutely worth mentioning is the storms of life can help us help others. We call that being a wounded healer. You know, when you get to talk to somebody who's gone through what you've gone through, when you get to talk to somebody who's been where you've been, when you get to be with somebody who's on the other side of the storm and they're on the front side of the storm and you get to be there with them and help journey with them, help walk them through that, God does not waste our experiences. We're the ones who waste them. But if we will keep our eyes on God, all of our experiences will not go wasted and we get to use those experiences to help others. So storms are not always bad things. They can be unexpected or they can be foreseeable, but storms are not always bad things. Sometimes they're very, very helpful. And even though we don't like them, even though we may push back against them, even though we may run from them, they can have beneficial results to them. And for most of us, it's hindsight, right? It's like 2020. We look back and go, whew. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've had some storms of life where I look back and go, well, I'm not really grateful for that storm because that just sounds bad. I'm grateful for how I see God pulled me through that storm and redirected or corrected me or allowed me to use that to help others. But here we have a different kind of storm. It's a different storm and it's a different scenario than what the gospel writers, some of the other gospel writers talk about and a little bit different story than some of the other storm stories that we read about. So I want us to talk for just momentarily about what this storm story is not, okay? Now, I just need to say this. When I say the word story, I really want to say this narrative or this true life event, but story works really well because it is a story that's contained within the gospel. So one of the three things I want to point out, what this storm story is not, and then we're going to talk about what it is and then we'll be done. But what is this storm story not? First of all, it is not Jesus calming the storm. It is not Jesus just going, stop. And the storm stops. Now, there is a record of that in Matthew 8, 23 through 27. It is not a story about Jesus just stopping the storms of life. Because the reality is, he's not going to stop all the storms of life. We know that, right? But this one is not about stopping the storms of life or calming the storm. It is also not about Jesus calling Peter to step out of the boat. In other words, this storm story is not a story about taking a step of faith. You know the story, right? Peter sees Jesus walking on water and he's like, hey, Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, come on out. And Peter's looking down at the water. He's looking up at Jesus. And he's like, all right, jumps out of the boat and he starts walking on water. The Bible says greater things you will do. Anybody want to be a water walker? Pretty cool. But what happened to Peter? This is a little aside, tell you the rest of the story real quick. He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. When we're in the storms of life, if we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when we begin to sink. But that's a different story for a different day. Number three, it is not about Jesus calling his disciples to leave their boats, right? Who did Jesus call first of all? Fishermen, ordinary guys, fishermen. It is not about Jesus calling these fishermen because it's not about leaving everything behind to go and follow Jesus. Although that is a story that's in Scripture and it's a true story. All of these are true stories that we have in Scripture about Jesus doing different things, calming storms, asking people to take a step of faith, asking people to leave their boats. It is not those stories. It's a powerful story because this is a very personal story. So this is where you got to kind of lean in because this is a story for you and for me. Those were two, but this is a different story. For John, this storm story is about Jesus being received into the boat. On the surface, literally, get in the boat. Inviting Jesus. Actually, the Greek words tell us that he was willed into the boat or that he was received into the boat. There's a strength in that word that's being used of those disciples really compelling, inviting, receiving Jesus into their boat. So on the surface, it's about literally getting into the boat. But John, there's a deeper level here. And this is where it gets really personal. That's where we spend the rest of our time this morning. Because this is a place where the below the surface is that we're receiving Jesus into the boats of our lives. Into the deep recesses of our lives. Where it's more than just a surface faith. But it's a deeper faith, a compelling faith, a trusting faith, an abiding faith. I'm going to hang with Jesus and hold on with all my might through the storms of life because I got Jesus in my boat. Sometimes he's going to calm the storm. Sometimes he's not. But if I have Jesus in my boat, then I'm going to get to the other side. In this story, the other side of the lake. The other side is the other side of the storm, however that might end for you or for me. But this is a story about receiving Jesus into our boats, into our lives. We are promised in Matthew 7:8, for everyone who knocks, Jesus, they receive. Anyone who seeks, finds. To everyone who knocks, the door will be open. We do not have to break the door down to Jesus in the storms of life. It's already there. In Revelation 3:20, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. There's a beautiful painting. I wish I could remember the author who did it. It's a beautiful garden scene that has Jesus on one side of the door and we see the other side of the door. And on Jesus' side of the door, there's no doorknob. On our side of the door is the doorknob because this is the place where you and I, we have a decision to make. That Jesus doesn't bust the door down into our lives and say, you will follow me now. Right? He's not Rambo Jesus. You know, he's saying, you got to open the door. And he promises, if you will open that door, and here's the amazing truth, it's just got to be a crack. It's just got to be a crack. He specializes in working in the cracks of our lives. If you just give him a crack, it'll be amazing what he can do. But we have to receive him. We have to open that door. He will not force himself into our lives. We have a choice to make. But if we knock, that door gets opened. So for John, this storm story is about receiving Jesus into the boats of our lives. It is about listening through the roar of the waves and the wind to the voice that says, don't be afraid, I am here. Did you know over 365 times in Scripture, it says in some way or some fashion, don't be afraid or don't worry. Why do you think it's there that many times? Because we have a problem with it. It's the same reason why there's so much conversation about money, because we had a problem with it. But in this case, it's about trust. It's about assurance. And Jesus comes to his disciples walking on water. He comes to them. They have to receive him into the boat. And he says, it's me. Don't be afraid. And I believe he has the same message for us. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm here as you're facing your storm. Matthew 13:9 says, anyone with ears should listen. Not just listen with your ears, but listen with your soul. Mark 4:24 says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. See, in the storms of life, when everything is loud and everything is crashing in and we're feeling overwhelmed, we got to lean an ear to try to hear the voice of God. Because I believe that God is always talking. He's always speaking. He's always there. Sometimes we just let the other noises and sounds of life overwhelm his. And I am so guilty of that because I feel like I get so overwhelmed by things in life. And I'm just going, oh, God. And I just get overwhelmed. And I wish I did it more. I'm working on it. It's one of the growing edges of my life when the storms come in that I'm trying to lean in more and say, God, I'm listening for you. I'm listening for you. I'm listening for you. I'm listening for you. And when that happens, I hear him. And it's amazing how God speaks to us. I think the primary way that God speaks to us is through his word. It's amazing how when you're going through a storm and you start flipping through scripture, and it doesn't always work when you go. Does sometimes. Might be a little afraid about what you might point to too, by the way. Because I've done that before and it's like, oh, let's try another. Right? Anybody else done that? But he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his community, through his people, through a brother, a sister in faith coming alongside of us and just putting their arm around us saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. Which is an extension of the presence of God. He speaks to us through our conscience, through intuition. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. God will go to any extent without forcing himself on us for us to hear his voice. And if we attune our ears, if we listen in the storm of life, we will hear him. And I think the abiding message that he says over and over again, don't be afraid, I'm here. In the storms of life, Jesus has to be received into our boat. That's in the listening over the roar of the waves and the winds that we hear him say, don't be afraid. It's in the storms of life where we are finding ourselves maybe sooner or than expected at the harbor where we will be calm and secure. I love this story. This is like a Star Trek story. It really is. It's like a beam me over kind of deal. I mean, there's just no other explanation for it. I mean, we've had scholars who have said, oh yeah, you know, 3 to 4 miles, you know, up in that north, they went from the northwest corner to the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, and about that place is about 4 miles, 3 to 4 miles. So they were already on shore when Jesus comes walking out. Well, I don't think John would have recorded that if he was like, I'm only like dipping my toes in. I believe they are in the midst of the storm of life. I believe the story is true that they are in the midst of the storm of life. Jesus comes walking out to them. They receive him. They hear him. And like, boom, they're in the safe harbor. Now, we don't always get to the safe harbor real fast. And sometimes the harbor we get to isn't the harbor that we had pictured. But when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and our ears attuned to Jesus, we get to a place where it's okay. Where it's okay. Now again, that first verse that we put up there, in this life, you're going to have sorrows and problems, right? So it doesn't mean that we're getting to heaven fast, although some do. But I mean, with Jesus with us, we're going to get to the other side of that storm. And we're going to be stronger because of it. When we stay attuned to Jesus. And then last but not least, for John, this storm story is about experiencing the peace that comes when we have Jesus with us. It's the peace. The Hebrew word is shalom. It's this place of without chaos. It's this place of, in the midst even of a storm, contentment, and that the presence of God is always with us. And so if we will stay attuned to that, we will experience the peace even amidst the most difficult times. I've had some really difficult times, continue to have some difficult times in my life, challenging places in our family, difficult things. But one of the things that I see is that, man, even in the midst of that, I get this peace and I'm like, I know God is with me. John 14:27, Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled. And here we have it again, don't be afraid. So what's the bottom line? I don't know what your storm story, everybody in here has a storm story. You've either gone through a storm or you are in the midst of a storm, or get ready because you will face a storm in your life. And so how are you going to experience that storm? How are you going to face that storm? Are you going to say, I'm going to try to do this all on my own and put my shoulder to the ground and push hard and fight through it and all that? Are we going to invite the very presence of the resurrected Christ, whose resurrection we just celebrated last week? Are we going to invite his presence into the midst of that? The theme verse for Jenny and my wedding was, our God can do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. So if you're going through a storm of life, or if you're about to face a storm of life, here's my encouragement to you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Read the truth of his word. Surround yourself in a loving community who can come alongside of you. And listen for his voice. It's a voice you can trust. And it's a voice that will get you to the other side of the storm. He promises that. And he always, always delivers on his promise. Let's pray. God, I don't know what all the storms are that the people in this room are facing today, but God, I do know that we all have our storms. We are either in the midst of a storm, or we're about to come up on a storm, or we're on the other side of the storm, and we need some respite. And so God, I pray that you would be the God who meets every need in this room. That God, your presence would be in such a way that without a doubt, that for every storm that is represented in here this morning, Lord, that they would hear the words, don't be afraid, I am here. Don't be afraid, I am here. And that they would attune, that we would attune our eyes and our ears to your voice, to your presence, so that we might get to the other side of the storm. God, I thank you that your word promises us. You promise us over and over and over again that you are our God, that you are crazy in love with us, that you can do exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And so with the gratitude, we give you thanks, God. So help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to hear your voice in the midst of this storm, and help us to lean into you where we will get to the other side of the storm. God, thanks so much for a resurrected love that won't let us go. We celebrate this and we give thanks for this in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen.